Yeah. This song could be a metaphor for everything, right? The levee's going to break with all this rain falling. So just back from New Hampshire, just back from the Democrats who talk. I guess the most profound moment was hearing Elizabeth Warren talk. It's the normal pap and patter, but hearing it in person somehow had more impact, but maybe it was more chopped up. It was just like taglines, and none of it makes any sense. And then I had this conversation, maybe you heard it at the end of the show yesterday. I talked with some young guys, high school kids, who were in New Hampshire on a field trip. It was great. They were running around the state following candidates and finding out how New Hampshire works and how politics works at the grassroots level. Terrific. But when I talked with them, I challenged them on their beliefs and said, your beliefs don't match the American system of government. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the lack of liberty? And I just thought it's kind of profound, which, of course, we've said before, it's profound that the Democrats have as their front runner somebody who's an avowed socialist slash communist. But also, that's where the party is. And while it does make a difference on some level who the candidate is who's selected for the White House, I think maybe the country is better off, i.e. there will be less socialism, if Bernie Sanders is elected, were he the nominee and then became president, than if some other Democrat were, because the others are lower profile about their socialism. But the Democratic Party is a socialist party, and that leaves us in a situation where the Democratic Party is a scary thing that we have to keep a close watch on. That's how I look at it. Anyway, I wanted to play a little Bernie. I wanted to play a little Bernie and see if how you interpret this as fitting in with the American system or government. And mostly what gets me about what he does is the attack on the successful. The idea that there's an attack on the successful being waged by those who are government officials and want to be higher level government officials, that is, want to get themselves elected president, that's kind of a bizarre thing, but also a dangerous and scary thing in my mind. They talk all the time about how dangerous Donald Trump is. Well, let's talk about how dangerous it is that there is a major political party, one of the two, that is out there bashing people who are great contributors to our economy and our society, who have driven wonderful economic growth and activity. How scary is it to have a political party that pretends to see that, or does see that, which is dangerous and a threat and contrary to the notion of the American system of government as something that they cherish? Why do they push something that is anathema to the American system of government?
But in this point in the campaign, we are taking on billionaires, and we're taking on candidates funded by billionaires. But we are going to win because we have the agenda that speaks to the needs of working people throughout this country.
All right, so a couple of points here I want to address and get your reaction to. 860-522-9842. Let's go back to the beginning and just listen to the first point again.
Point in the campaign, we are taking on billionaires, and we're taking on candidates funded by billionaires.
Now, is there any reason to take on billionaires? Is there something wrong with billionaires? For example, is Mike Bloomberg, former mayor of New York, but more importantly for this conversation, the founder of a highly successful company, self-made guy, born and raised lower middle class in Massachusetts and makes his way into iconic super wealthy status all on his own. Why is there anything wrong with Michael Bloomberg self-funding his campaign? Anybody have a problem with that, with Michael Bloomberg spending, he's spent $300 million apparently already running ads for his campaign? I would say he has more right to be spending $300 million than anyone else because he actually earned that money and it's his and he's doing what he wants with it, which is to try to bring a message to the American people, as opposed to a regular politician who has to go around groveling. Well, maybe you want to change the system. I don't know. But we have a money-based system. Money is a thing that accrues to people who produce. Now, it doesn't do that in a completely fair way or in a linear way, but, you know, Michael Bloomberg produced incredible things for our society. Should he not be able to use what he earned to be able to propel his message into the marketplace? Is he less valid because he has that much money? Is there like a curve, a bell curve upon which you start to lose your validity because you've produced too much for the society? Therefore, you should have your right to speak curbed. What in the world is Bernie Sanders talking about when he objects to billionaires having the chance to campaign for president? What's he talking about?
Because we have the agenda that speaks.
Oh, this is part two.
But we are going to win because we have the agenda that speaks to the needs of working people throughout this country.
Another ridiculous statement. How are working people benefited by dismantling the capitalist system, which has provided incredible affluence, incredible standards of living to the American people? How do the American people benefit by destroying that and turning us into a pseudo-Soviet society? I mean, everything the Democrats say is nuts, and people who don't think about it or haven't spent a lot of time paying attention to politics, they don't necessarily understand that. It sounds appealing, but working people would be much better off if they didn't have to support a society in which government controls so much of the resources. And I think Democrats are out there attacking billionaires in New Hampshire and elsewhere around the country, attacking billionaires because they don't like the competition. They don't like there being other powerful people around. They want government to hold all the power. 860-522-9842. They want government controlling everything and taking all the money. And the reason we might feel impoverished, lacking in economic power, is because so much money gets sucked out of the economy by the government. Because they have their boot so heavily on our throats. Maybe that's why we feel like we don't have enough money to get by. Certainly, Connecticut is in a unique position to understand this sensation. Because you can see directly just how much pressure has been put on average folk by a government that just takes money for the sake of rigging power. Let's talk to John next on WTIC. Hi, John.
Hi, I want to tell you why I would not vote for Bloomberg and all his money.
Okay.
And I love money. I would fill a bathtub and jump in it.
Okay. But would that be paper money or coins?
Immaterial. I love all forms.
All right.
But here's what I don't like. And I like people that I disagree with. I like different opinions. I love all of that. But this is what I hate. I hate hypocrites. And I hate elitists. So Michael Bloomberg, as mayor of New York, stay with me now, wanted to ban the poor Irish hack drivers out in Central Park with their horses pulling carriages, which is okay. If you're an animal rights activist, I'm 100% understand that that's not for everyone, and you might feel that that's inappropriate because occasionally a horse will drop dead. I'm okay with that. But his daughter is a big Olympic horse equestrian causing horses to leap over fences. And let me tell you something. If you've been to the back lot of a training session for a show jumper, they're a lot more brutal training than they are pulling a
wagon. Wait, so your objection to Michael Bloomberg, the billionaire, has nothing to do with him being a billionaire?
No, well, he's an elitist telling us don't do that. Don't have the poor Irish cab driver driving the hack. But I can do what I want with my horse.
Well, I'm with you on that. It's the same thing with his
of elitist.
It's the same thing with his soda tax. Remember, he didn't want people to be able.
He probably doesn't drink a big soda, so yes. He's at least not being a hypocrite.
Well, he is being a hypocrite, like, because he goes off and spends his money on whatever he wants, but he thinks somehow we aren't capable of being trusted with a decision as to what size beverage we want to buy at the convenience store. So there is hypocrisy there. It's just not in the same structure.
I think the true hypocrisy, though, is illuminated by the treatment of horses. It's just
no, you made your point. I get your point.
Yep.
But it's just not a billionaire point.
It drives me crazy.
All right, we get that.
Well, no. Show jumping is a rich man's sport.
Yes.
You're not going to have an Olympic athlete a horse unless you're a very wealthy man.
I get that. All right, thank you, John, for the call. 860-522-9842. Let's take a quick break and talk more about hypocrisy and billionaires coming up on WTIC. WTIC, thanks so much for tuning in. We're back from New Hampshire. Psyched to be here talking about billionaires. So there's this line from Elizabeth Warren that I want to read to you, because it's part of this same situation, the same thing that Bernie is talking about. What's ridiculous, says Elizabeth Warren, is billionaires who think they can buy the presidency to keep the system rigged for themselves while opportunity slips away for everyone else. The top 0.1% who would pay my ultra millionaire tax own about the same wealth as 90% of America. My problem with this attack on the wealthy is that it's simply demonizing people who have money. Demonizing people who have money instead of demonizing big government that loves to waste money, that uses money, as you hear me say all the time, and as you know, here in Connecticut, they keep raising taxes in order that they can use your money to buy elections. And if they imagine if you could cut the state government in half, and instead of spending $23 billion or whatever it spends each year, it was spending half that amount of money. What if they were putting $12 billion or $11.5 billion back into the economy each year, into your pockets, instead of always taking more? What billionaire has taken money out of your pockets? See, the billionaires have never taken anything from you. They have never. The corporate titans have never taken anything from you. They can't. They have no ability to take from you. The only people who can take money out of your pockets, the only people who can take it against your will, is the government. And they keep coming back for more all the time. So why do we listen to nonsense from people like Bernie Sanders and believe it?
We live in the wealthiest country in the history of the world. That's where we are right now. How many people in America know that we live in the wealthiest country in the history of the world?
I think everybody, knows that.
Because they're out there working 50, 60 hours a week. They're worried about how they're going to provide child care for their kids, how they're going to afford to send their college. In too many instances, in the wealthiest country in the history of the world, people are worried about how they're going to put food on the table to feed their kids.
Okay, so he's connecting that some people have a lot of money, and some people, or a lot of people, I suspect, are wondering how they're going to get enough money to feed their families and support their families. It's true that life is hard, even in the richest country in the history of mankind. Life is hard for people who aren't the richest people in that country, who aren't the wealthiest, who are average folk working. And the bigger government gets, the harder it gets for regular people to get by. Billionaires don't make it harder for us to live our lives. But the malfeasance on the part of the elected class, that is making a mediocre education system so that they can buy votes from unions, that exchange on the part of the government, that hurts you. But tell me the thing a billionaire is doing that hurts you and your ability to make money. Because I don't get that at all. 860-522-9842. Tom is with us from Canton. Hello, Tom. Wait a sec. Try it again. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, I like your topic as usual. You know, if anything, the government makes it so you got to be rich already before you start any kind of a new business.
Well, before you do anything, you got to be rich to survive today. And they make it harder to be rich all the time by taking so much money from us in order to run their election rigging schemes.
Exactly. Just try to start a gas station. I can't even imagine how many million. You have to be a multinational trillion-dollar company to do that.
Well, it's true. There aren't independent gas stations anymore, are there?
No, because nobody could afford it. It'd be crazy. And so just almost any business you want to start. I had an idea for a little business. I grew up on the shore down in Fairfield.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a creek right in my backyard. It's still there. I noticed it's chock full of minnows. So I thought, you know, maybe I can get some minnows and add some buckets and sell them in bait shops around the state for a little part-time fun. You basically cannot do that. This DEP, there's actually a web page on the DEPs. How come there's so many different pages on the DEP website? I mean, so anybody trying to start anything small, it's pretty much forget about it.
That's so you're arguing about big government regulation, intervening in the ability of regular folks to make a living.
If any of these people really wanted to help the little guy, they sweep away all the regulations for smaller stuff, unless it's really toxic, and let people prosper like they do in other countries.
Yeah, I like that idea. Tom, thank you for the phone call. In what way have you seen ways that government gets in the way, interferes with making a living? $15 minimum wage interferes with being able to make a living, being able to start a business, being able to run a successful business, being able to keep one going. Paid family medical leave is an attack on the ability of those operating businesses or those working to be able to make ends meet. More taxes, a bigger state income tax. It is the government that's the problem, and they wish to cover up that fact by attacking billionaires. But what is a billionaire? What is a corporation? Billionaires are people who've been highly successful. Corporations are businesses that have been highly successful. Do those people or entities hurt you, or do they create opportunity for you? Are they the problem with America, or are they the upside in America? If you had a choice to eliminate government, like say you could take half of government and throw it away, or you could take half the corporations in America and throw them away, which would you rather throw away? Which one is doing the destroying and which one is doing the building? Which one is a problem in your life, a threat to your privacy, to your ability to freely enjoy the spoils of your labor, to be able to educate your kids? Which one is standing in the way? Are corporations doing that, or is it government? I don't see any corporations or even billionaires. Are there any billionaires coming down your street threatening your ability to function in this world? Are there any billionaires who are pressing down on your livelihood, making it hard for you? If they're there, please fill us in right now. 860-522-9842. It seems to me that Bernie's got this all wrong.
The reason that people do not perceive that we are living in the wealthiest country in the history of the world is that almost all of the wealth and much of the income is going to the top 1%.
Well, I wonder how that happened. I wonder how it happened that average people aren't able to make as much money in this economic boom, in this period of incredible growth. Is that the fault of billionaires, or is that the fault of government, which makes policies that decide who can compete and who can't? 860-522-9842. We'll talk more about it on WTIC. Hey there, WTIC Todd here, talking about the attacks on billionaires and the rich and corporations from the left. This is an attack on success. This is an attack on the idea that we live in a capitalist society. They want to turn it into a socialist society, and that's why Bernie talks like this.
The reason that people do not perceive that we are living in the wealthiest country in the history of the world is that almost all of the wealth and much of the income is going to the top 1%. And our job together is to change that reality.
Why is that a statistic? Why are we trying to change a statistic? If there is a problem indicated by that statistic, I would think the problem that that wealth being made today accrues more to already wealthy people as opposed to average people is because we now live in an economy which is knowledge-based. We live in the information age, and we have schools. We have an education system that has been rigged by the government through their unions to not care about whether it's providing kids with good education or not, only to care about whether enough money is going to those people who vote for Democrats. If there is a problem with the average person having the ability to earn enough money to compete in this system built by the government, it would seem to me it has to do with government-controlled education. Agree or disagree? 860-522-9842. Is there a problem with millionaires, billionaires, or is there a problem with government? I don't see how you can build an argument for the fact that rich people have caused those who aren't rich to have less. Rich people produce economic growth. Corporations produce economic growth, and those corporations produce billionaires. Why is Bill Gates a billionaire? Bill Gates is a billionaire because he started a business that was a transformative business in a transformative economy. Why is Apple the biggest, richest corporation in America, maybe? Or something close to it? Why is Tesla the second most valuable car company in the world? Because of the creativity and the ingenuity and the transformative technologies and business created by Elon Musk. Not because he's taken anything from working people. The only place working people get ripped off, as far as I can see, is from the government. 860-522-9842. Let's talk to Mark in East Hartford. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Todd. It's just a bunch of rhetoric. Listen, if you have the moxie, if you have the drive to be able to get out there and create your own way, you have a good enough idea, you have a good enough product or service, I really think that you could survive. You could be successful in any type of economy. This stirs Bernie's words stirs the pot up. They want to keep us down. They want to make it sound like everything is absolutely terrible, and it really isn't. But we have a society that is growing into I don't know how to say it, PC. The younger generation is lazy, and they're excited to have. They like the word free, and they really think that stuff can be free and be given to them. And I think it's just the path of least resistance, and they're counting on the government to make things better for them, which we know that it clearly is not going to happen.
Well, I like that word greed that you brought into this. I'm wondering, because they do use greed all the time. It's become a routine bit of pablum that is uttered by that certain class of people who think that all of the problems in the world are generated by the rich. And I can't think of any of them that are generated by the rich, but there must be some. But I don't know any examples of greed that are impacting our lives other than government greed.
That's all I could see, and I really think they need to get out of our way, and everybody has to get up and go to work every day and do the best you can. And the more motivation you have to get out there and make a living and earn a dollar and find your way is the only way that it could possibly happen. That's how this country was founded. That's what it's built on. People dreamed of coming to America to work, to be able to do whatever they would like to do to be successful. Whatever their definition, whatever an individual's definition of success is, you're able to achieve that here under the capitalist society that we have. I'm not going to give a lot, but I was taking a sociology class just recently, and I'm a little bit older than the average student, and Marxism was preached by the teacher, and I was kind of speaking up on it and wrote a paper about Reagan. This was before Trump was in office. I was pulled to the side to ask not to contribute in class as much as I am, because she really wanted to get her message across on how Marxism and socialism is beneficial to everybody at hand, from a tenured teacher who could come and go and do what she pleases. And
she was telling you to shut up so she could sell her Marxism.
Yeah, to the younger, I'll call them kids. They're not, they're young adults. But and if this started, 12 years prior, in regular public school or whatever school they went to, then they're indoctrinated. If that's the right.
That's the right word. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mark, for the call and for making the point. Go ahead. Wrap up.
And quickly, I'm just wondering, we're never going to get out of the way of the state and these union benefits, retirement funds, all the stuff that we have going on. When's it kind of start to turn around in our favor? Who sat down and looked at those numbers? When do they start to expire to where we're not paying so much in the retirement funds that we need, that we're obligated to now? What's the projection date on that? I'm sure you don't have the answer, but I think
it's not that long a timeline. My recollection is it's maybe 10 years of the brutality of the highest costs that are still building right now in the debt service that the state of Connecticut is paying for the loans to support the unfunded liabilities owed to state workers.
Okay, fair enough. And in the meantime, we'll pay tolls, and then our property taxes will go up, and they're going to milk us for every dime.
Well,
they can.
Hopefully we're not going to pay tolls, but whatever. We'll figure it out. Thank you, Mark, for the phone call. 860-522-9842. So interesting to bring tolls into this context, because what are tolls? Are tolls a way that billionaires and corporations are hurting us? Or is that a way that government wants to hurt us? The big tax hikes of the Malloy years, or was that rich people coming to take our money away? Or was that government coming to take our money away? Because government is operating in such a way that it needs an endless supply of increased streams of tax dollars in order to be able to survive under its current mode. And the current mode is it can't ever cut spending, because the purpose of all dollars spent in state government, the purpose of it all, is to fix votes. And you don't get more votes by cutting programs. You lose votes. You piss people off. You make people upset. You have people come and protest special interest groups. Oh, no, we can't have any of that. We have to keep funding whatever is because it is, not because it's good, not because we even know what they do. Just because they employ our friends and keep people happy. That flow of money keeps people happy.
There is something profoundly wrong in our country when the top 1/10 of 1%, not 1%, 1/10 of 1%, owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. That is immoral. That is wrong.
Well, why is that immoral, as opposed to the amount of money government is taking and government is wasting? Why isn't it immoral? Why is there not one politician who's running around talking, giving Bernie-type rants about how immoral it is that the state of Connecticut has $124 billion worth of debt that contributes nothing to the greater good of the state, nothing to the average taxpayer, just an election rigging scheme by the left. Where is that argument? Where is the argument that education is being held back because of the relationship between union workers and the Democratic Party? And as a result of all the money and power that the Democrats get from unionized workers, they have turned control over education to the unions rather than keeping it in the hands of the people. Wouldn't it be great if we had a versatile, vibrant, responsive education system that was trying its best to adapt to fast-changing times instead of an education system that still bases its daily schedule on an agrarian society, something we haven't been in 50 years, 60 years. How insane is it, this period? This period is going to go down as one of the dark periods in our country, despite all the economic activity, because it's setting the stage for disaster, and that disaster will be structured around our inability to compete because of what the Democrats have done to the education system by rigging it so that it can't adapt to the needs of the people. That's the most vivid and clear thing probably going on in America today that represents a threat. Where is the rant against that?
There's almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. That is immoral. That is wrong.
No, what's immoral and what's wrong is the theft of billions of dollars on the state level and trillions on the federal level in order to enhance the careers of politicians rather than take care of the people. That's what they do with their power. Thomas Watertown, hi.
Todd.
Thomas.
Listening to your conversation, I'm looking, first of all, I have nothing against billionaires, but I'm looking at the, I'll give you the top 10 richest Americans. Amazon is Bezos, Gates is Microsoft, Warren Buffett is investment, Zuckerberg's Facebook.
Okay, that's enough. What's the point you want to make?
Well, my point is, what they're not telling you is, first of all, a lot of this money, that their net worth has come from stocks.
Yes, value of the company they built, which has
exactly
appreciated enormously.
Exactly, but what they're also not telling you is the number, the amount of taxes these people pay to the states in which they are housed,
yep,
and the numbers of lives of people that they're able to pay for, and all those people can do what they need to do with their lives because of these companies.
No, that's a great point, because what happened when Amazon said they wanted to open up another headquarters on the East Coast? Did the state of Connecticut put up a billboard saying, Jeff Bezos, stay out? No,
no
to Amazon. Was there a
no
campaign like that?
No, AOC actually tossed them out of New York.
Yeah, because she's a radical
she got
nut
all the flack for it, but I can't. These Sanders is out of his mind. We all know that, but there's nothing wrong with billionaires. This is America. It's the greatest country in the world. You can come here and be and do any goddamn thing you want to do.
Yes, I would say that not only is there nothing wrong with billionaires, but billionaires are terrific. We need them because they protect us from the ravages of a state and federal government that are out of control. Quick break. We'll talk more. 860-522-9842 on WTIC. WTIC, we're talking about billionaires. Are they the problem with the state of Connecticut, or are they the problem with America?
There's something profoundly wrong when we have seen in recent years a proliferation of millionaires and billionaires, while at the same time millions of Americans, folks here in New Hampshire, Vermont, are working two or three jobs, and we have the highest rate of childhood poverty of any major country on earth. That is wrong. That is unacceptable. And together we're going to change that.
Well, if that's wrong and unacceptable, the way to change it is to eliminate the policies or improve the policies that are making it impossible for average people to have the skills to compete in this economy. 860-522-9842. As soon as my mouse moves, we'll go to Bob in Madison. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Todd. Hey, the previous caller just mentioned a few corporations, and if I'm not mistaken, a lot of these people started this their corporation from the ground up with exactly nothing, and I have no problem them making a lot of money. Look at the people they employ, hundreds of thousands of people, and so Bernie wants to punish these people that employ America. What's his problem? I just can't understand. Every time I listen to him, he's like a socialist, which he is.
Well, that's so he is a socialist, and the argument of the socialists, like the ones who run Connecticut, is that everything's better if the money from the private sector is turned over to them. But the bigger government gets, the worse life seems to get.
Right, and if that happens, the businesses go out of business, and I get laid off, so it doesn't make sense at all. So. But anyways.
Agreed, Bob.
He's a nutcase. He needs something's wrong.
I think that's true, actually. Thank you for that, Bob. Appreciate it. RP Wallingford. Hi, RP.
Good afternoon, Todd. Wow. Bernie Sanders. First of all, let's get this out of the way. The man is a despicable person because he wants to buy a young person's vote with your money and my money. And that's absolutely, I don't know how to describe it. It's awful, all right? But if Bernie wanted to tell the truth, and I have a lot of notes here, but the biggest one is...
Don't read your notes. Just tell us what you can remember.
All right. Well, we have too much redistribution. Not enough. I remember I told you a couple months ago, the average, the top 20% that make $300,000, the taxes bring it down to $200,000. And the bottom 20% that average $5,000 go up to $50,000 with all their government benefits. Mm-hmm. So you tell me where the problem is with not enough redistribution. There's too much. And what someone else makes has nothing to do with you. If somebody else goes out and works their ass off and makes a lot of money, then go do the same. It makes no difference. It doesn't take any money out of your pocket. The only thing that takes money out of your pocket is the government. And
yes.
How these people can get away with blaming corporations and billionaires is beyond my comprehension.
Well, only because they deceive people and create the impression, false impressions, about where money comes from and the damage that so-called billionaires do. But if you are creating economic activity, as billionaires do through their corporations, then that grows the economy. It's not a zero-sum game. It's not that there's only so much economic activity to go around. And if you don't get your piece of the pie because the billionaire has so much, then you're out of luck. That's not how it works. Steve Jobs probably created more economic growth and therefore more wealth for other humans and other Americans than anyone in the history of mankind. Maybe the same for Jeff Bezos with the incredible transformative activity going on with Amazon. The idea of demonizing this when it is the fact of American greatness and the great privilege of being in a capitalist society is just gross.